slams the UN for its stance on the recent clash with Israelis on its southern borders. And also, the sour wildfires around Moscow forced the evacuation of munitions from military depots around the capital.
It is 1 a.m. in Istanbul, Turkey, and 2:30 a.m. here in the Iranian capital, Tehran. This is Press TV's World News.
Many thanks for joining us this hour. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, says the presence of foreign forces in Afghanistan has only brought about corruption and evil practices. Ayatollah Khamenei said countries that invaded Afghanistan are driven by endless greed and are only after their own interests. However, he said the situation has now changed to the benefit of Afghanistan and other regional countries. Iran's leader said the rise of Islamic movements in the world has limited the power of countries like the United States. Ayatollah Khamenei made the comments during a meeting with presidents of Afghanistan and Tajikistan. The two are in Iran to attend a summit of Persian-speaking countries. While the presidents of Iran, Afghanistan, and Tajikistan have met in a trilateral summit in Tehran, the one-day meeting was aimed at giving a boost to the region's economy through building new railways and roads for the transit of goods between the Middle East and Central Asia.
Well, during that meeting, both Iran and Tajikistan vowed to help Afghanistan to eradicate poverty and called for a non-military solution to the crisis in the war-torn country. Amir Mehdi Kazemi has this report from Tehran.
These three leaders represent countries that share a common language, Farsi. But what motivates the presidents of Iran, Afghanistan, and Tajikistan to gather in Tehran is something beyond language commonalities. This is the fourth time that the three heads of state get together in a trilateral summit in order to strengthen relations.
This is a gathering between brothers in a large family. There are many common interests among us. We have learned that no one can solve the problems of our region except ourselves.
Hosted by Iran, the summit emphasized on the regional benefits that the three countries could provide each other in the field of trade, energy, and security.
I think that the time has come for us to cooperate more actively in developing our region before it's too late.
The three sides signed a memorandum of understanding for the formation of a joint commission. The Afghan president, Hamid Karzai, whose country is caught in a grip of war between foreign troops and the Taliban, called upon Iran and Tajikistan to assist their neighbor in developing its economy by paving the way for the construction of a new transit route, connecting the markets of the three countries to each other and neighboring China.
We are emphasizing on the development of our trade and transit routes. This will benefit all countries in the region.
Iran, Tajikistan, and Afghanistan have repeatedly announced that their mutual interests are tied to one another. One of the examples is Afghanistan's electricity imports from Tajikistan's hydroelectric dams built by Iran. The two landlocked countries look at Iran as the best access route to the world markets for their exports. The three leaders hope that by establishing new roads and railways, they can improve the region's economy. They believe that such a development can help bring stability to poverty-stricken areas such as Afghanistan by creating jobs for the people, but only if the promises would be put into action rather than remaining on paper. The next trilateral summit between the three states will be held in the Afghan capital, Kabul, next year. Many experts believe that these three countries can play a significant role in maintaining security and stability in Central Asia and the Middle East. Amir Mehdi Kazemi, Press TV, Tehran.
A Turkish soldier and six militants have been killed in the latest round of clashes between the Turkish military and members of the PKK. The trooper was killed in the eastern Angreel province after clashes with the militants elsewhere in the Hakkari province near the Iraqi border. Skirmishes between the PKK and security forces left three militants dead. In a similar incident in the eastern city of Van, three PKK members were killed. The PKK has been fighting for independence from Ankara since 1984. The conflict has claimed tens of thousands of lives on both sides. The group is considered as a terrorist organization by much of the international community.
Lebanese officials have slammed the UN stance on Tuesday's clashes at Lebanon's southern border with Israel. They say Israel has again violated UN Resolution 1701. Mariam Saleh has this report.
The latest skirmishes on the Lebanese-Israeli border that resulted in the death of two Lebanese soldiers, as well as a reporter and an Israeli army officer, did not escalate into an all-out war. However, they have had their resonance on the region and Lebanon. Parliament Speaker Nabih Hibiri urged all Lebanese sides to cooperate in countering Israel's psychological and intelligence war against Lebanon and criticized the UN and U.S. stance regarding the border clashes.
Israel has crowned its violations of Resolution 1701 and its aggressions against Lebanon in its incursion into land that we recognize as Lebanese territory.
The UN has now confirmed Israel's claim that the soldier who trimmed a tree was operating on its side of the border fence, but Lebanon insists it was confronting an incursion into its territory. And in a clear pro-Israeli stance, the U.S. State Department spokesman Philip Crowley said the firing of the Lebanese armed forces was totally unjustified. But Buri was not the only Lebanese official to show displeasure with the U.N. position, as head of Progressive Socialist leader Walid Jumblatt slammed U.N. peacekeepers for what he called their inaction in the face of Tuesday's shootings.
We saw clearly how the international soldier waved the white flag to the Israelis. We hope the UN will stand by Lebanon against Israel violations. But the UN has had a bad record in stopping any aggression.
Israeli Defense Minister Ehud Barak called the incident a very grave provocation, while Premier Benjamin Netanyahu blamed the Lebanese government and warned it not to test Israel's resolve. Hezbollah Secretary General Said Hassan Nasrallah has said his movement will join in if the fighting breaks out again. Future movement headed by Prime Minister Saad Hariri and the main component of the 14th of March coalition had previously opposed Hezbollah's arms, which it said was outside the context of the state. But now they consider the arms of the resistance as an essential factor of Lebanon's defense.
The Lebanese government, with its statement, said that we still need the people, the army, and the resistance to defend Lebanon. And also the government is trying to help the army by supplying it with the new technology.
Lebanese factions are yet to create a clear defense mechanism that could include the integration of Hezbollah in Lebanon's national army. Despite the fact that Lebanon's factions could be caught in a row as hazardous reports of a special tribunal indictment continue, all sides have been united against Israel's latest attacks and its intelligence war against Lebanon. Druze leader Walid Jumblatt was clear in saying that as long as Lebanon's national army is not well equipped, Hezbollah's arms remain a national need. Mariam Saleh, Press TV, Beirut.
Advisor to leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ali Akbar Velayati, has met with top Lebanese officials in Beirut. Velayati has held talks with Lebanese President Michel Sayman and Parliament Speaker Nabih Berri. This after having met with Hezbollah Secretary General Sayed Hassan Nasrallah a day earlier on Wednesday. The meetings come after deadly clashes between Lebanese and Israeli forces in southern Lebanon. Velayati condemned Israel's aggression and praised Beirut's reaction to Israel's provocations. The Iranian official is in Lebanon to take part in a conference held by the Islamic Radios and Televisions Union.
Russia's defense ministry has ordered the evacuation of munitions from military locations around the capital, Moscow, as wildfires continue to spread. This comes a day after the Kremlin ordered tighter security at military locations in light of the fires raging in central and western Russia. Civil defense officials have warned that the blazes may increase radioactive radiation. However, on Wednesday, officials announced the transfer of radioactive materials from the Sarov nuclear facility 500 kilometers east of Moscow. Russia's worst wildfires on record have been caused by its most severe heat wave in decades. The fires have killed at least 50 people in the past week.
You're watching World News here on Press TV. Time for a quick check of the headlines this hour. Iran's leader says the presence of foreign forces in Afghanistan has brought evil upon the Afghan people. In Turkey, a soldier and six PKK militants are killed in latest clashes in that country. Lebanon slams the UN for its stance on the recent clash with Israelis on its southern borders. And wildfires around Moscow force the evacuation of munitions from military depots around the capital.